What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Robert Moore Podcast. I am your host, Robert Moore. If you want any of my stuff, you can go to my website, www.morewriting.com. If you want to email into the show, email me. Hit me up at robert@morewriting.com. Hopefully, everybody's having a great weekend. So far, my weekend's been very good. Did a lot of fall stuff. A lot of farm, apples, donuts, popcorn, playing and with the farm equipment, farm animals, that kind of stuff. All that Hallmark. I even seen some Hallmark couples on a date, and I just wanted to walk up to them and tell the woman, don't leave this small town. Don't leave Amherst for New York. Stay here. Help this young man keep this farm and live happily ever after. Because that's what 90% of the Hallmark movies are, is like some woman, she lived in a small town, she left the small town, and then she went to New York, and then something with her job, like she got laid off, and she went back home, found a guy who was single, maybe single father, and his family owned the farm. They're going to lose the farm, and they don't like each other, but somehow they have to work together, I guess, to put together a big event to try to save the farm. But then she gets called back to work, and now she has to make a decision. Does she want to stay on the farm with him and live happily ever after, or does she want to go back to her career? That's how those movies always work. So it was a good time. It was nice fall stuff. Before I forget, I just want to get this out the way. I mentioned in previous episodes about my family needing prayers. My nephew Deshaun, he is fighting cancer right now, and he's up to the task. He doesn't deserve that task, but he's up to it anyway, and the family is here to support him anyway. But there is a GoFundMe to show support at this fight. He just turned 12, and anything that could help would be appreciated. So if you want to donate to that GoFundMe, if you want to know more information, email me, robert@morewriting.com, and I will send you back that link. If you follow me on social media, hit me up, and I will get you that link anyway. But we love you, Deshaun, and keep fighting. Siri, on my watch, Siri is like... Siri interrupted me once again. Every episode I yell at her for interrupting me. I don't know if she wants to donate. Maybe Steve Jobs is back there and say, Steve, hit me up. We can do something. One of the things that I noticed in this past week was something about baseball. Baseball's wrapping up. The Guardians manager, Terry Francona, his career is coming to an end. He's going to go to Boston Red Sox. They're saying he's retiring. I wouldn't be surprised if he lands with another team. He doesn't seem like a guy who wants to retire. He should, because he's had health problems the last few years, but just how he talks. He doesn't talk about riding into the sunset and his plans after he retires. He's just like, oh, shucks, guys. That means he might sit for a year, and then he'll be coach managing somebody else. And then also, Miguel Cabrera for the Tigers, Detroit. He is retiring. Man, he kicked Cleveland's ass for his whole career, and they ended up giving him a gift, I guess, to make sure he stays retired. But shout out to those guys. But the main thing that I noticed about baseball was this: there's a guy, older gentleman. He might be in his 50s, 60s, I want to say. And he has no arms, but he taught himself how to pitch with his feet. And what he wants to do is he wants to go to every ballpark and throw out the first pitch. And there's this video montage of him in all these different cities, and he's throwing out the first pitch. He does a great job. What an inspirational story. I love his story. Congrats to him. Keep inspiring people not to give up. But the one thing that concerned me about this video was that he'd go to a couple ballparks and there's barely anybody in the stands. But then as they kept going through the different stadiums, I noticed that None of these ballparks had anybody at them. They were all empty. And one of the things that we go through here, my team is the San Francisco Giants. That's my favorite team. But, you know, living here in the Cleveland area, you follow the home teams also. And I noticed that, you know, back in the day, back in the 90s, the Cleveland baseball team, their stadium was always full. In fact, they had like something like 480 something consecutive sellout dates. They were awesome. But then after that, attendance kind of fell off and people tried to think of reasons why. Some people said, oh, it's because of the weather. At the beginning of the year, it's very cold and it's on the lake and no one wants to really deal with that. And then at the end of the year, it gets cold again and no one really wants to deal with that. And then people were saying, well, the team doesn't spend money. They're unpredictable. All these different things. But listening to this, I thought this was just a Northeast Ohio Cleveland thing. But I'm looking at all these baseball stadiums around the country, and it seems like the majority of them are empty. Like, if you're playing MLB baseball, you're playing in front of empty fans, empty stadiums. So it makes me worry about the long-term status of baseball, especially like if you're a player and you're making millions of dollars, you know, playing okay here, or you can go overseas to Taiwan or Japan and they can pay you similar, but you got rocking stands and fans in the stands. That's an Eminem rhyme. Where are you going to play? I still think players will come here, but if live attendance is that bad, the sport is going to take a hit. And not only for that, but also the TV contracts are all messed up. They went to regionalized sports and you can't see the games unless you really have cable, but people really don't have cable anymore. And then some places will try to stream, but the stream sucks. It's looking bad for baseball. That video kind of summed it up for me, where baseball is in trouble. They need to figure something out. They need to market their stars a lot better. Their players need to play better. Like, back in the day, if you hit 300, if you hit 270, you're all right. Now I see players hitting like 143, 150, 175, and I'm like, man, that's awful. That's horrible. But I don't know how you do to fix that. They made the game shorter with a pitch clock. That helped. But outside of that, I don't know. If you can figure that out, baseball should hire you. But you have cases where guys will get on teams. They'll get on teams and they'll have a great year, a great rookie year, and they'll be rookie of the year. And you think, okay, first base for this team is locked up for the next 10 years. And then the following year, they bat 150, and that's a wrap on their career. They'll just hang around batting 150, and you thought you had that position sewed up. Or they'll have a couple good years, you sign them to this huge contract, and then they just tank out. The Washington Nationals, they had lost their best player, and then the next year they win the World Series. The equivalent to that in basketball is like if the Cavs would have lost LeBron and then the next year they win the NBA championship. So you got to be able to make some kind of sense out of this, especially in a game that's numbers. I don't know what the fix for that is. If you can figure it out, you can make $1 billion from baseball. But good luck to baseball. I still like you. I don't love you like I used to, but I still like you. The government, the United States of America's government, was going to shut down. And they, I believe, they're in the process of avoiding it as of this recording. There were, I guess, you know, the Democrats went to Democrat stuff. The Republicans went to Republican stuff. But there were some Republicans that wanted more Republican-y stuff. And they were fighting with other Republicans that were like, eh. But I think they all got a deal. I guess a deal that's coming is super bipartisan. They all agree on it. And life will be good. About this whole debt thing, I understand both sides of it. One is you got to address it at some point. Like, you can't keep kicking the can down the road. One of these years, you have to bite the bullet and deal with it. Or there's going to come a year where you have to. You have no choice. But at the same time, like, when is a good time? Like, what do you cut that isn't suffering? I mean, you can try and cut the military, but your enemies are kind of looking at, they're waiting for that opportunity to come in and do some things. You don't want to cut social programs because people desperately need those, and cutting them is going to put people in a more of a crazy situation where you're going to see a rise in crime and murders and all that stuff. So it's hard. It's kind of like if the country is your family and you're putting more and more stuff on the credit cards and you're opening up more and more credit cards and life is okay. And you say, wait a minute, we can't keep living like this because eventually we're going to run out of credit cards to open. We're going to eventually max out and then we're in big trouble. But what do we cut? Do we cut food, heat, water, some essential things? We can try and not eat out as much, but that's not going to do too much. We got to figure something out. And again, that's another problem that those men and women are supposed to figure out. And I think that's why I say our country right now, the separation is the biggest problem more than anything, because if we can come together and really say, okay, what's best for the country? Maybe I give up a little on my end, you give up a little on your end, and we save the day. We could solve this stuff. But the more we're separated and we're fighting over the littlest stuff, the more stuff like this is a ticking time bomb that's going to happen. So shout out to the people in the government that came together and at least agreed to kick the can down the road. Hopefully things will be fine in the future. The writer's strike was avoided. No writer's strike. They were striking for months. They held in there. And they came to an agreement with the studio so they can go back to work and start writing. But if you think your favorite show is coming anytime soon, it is not, because the actors are still on strike. And you got to wait for that to be done. At least the writers can get back to work and start writing on the stuff. And then when the actors get it all figured out, they'll be able to come back and everything will be ready to go for them. The weird thing is about this is that the writers went on strike and then the actors kind of support them, like, yo, we got your back, we're hanging there, we're with you. Then they go on strike and it kind of felt like we're all in this together, fight the power, fight the men, we're brothers and sisters in this. And then the writers get called back and they're like, peace, see you. If you're an actor, how do you feel about the writers going back? One, I might be like, man, we supported y'all. Would you mind go back to work, but can you come back and picket with us and stand with us? That would be cool. But also, hopefully this means that if their deal got done, the writers and actors deal will get done too, because the writers and actors both had similar grievances, and hopefully they'll get this all squared away. Shout out to the auto workers that are striking. I know some friends of mine, a lot of friends who work in the auto industry, and this is probably like the worst time for them to go on strike, but you got to do what you got to do, and I hope that they can get this worked out so those people can get back to work. Not only does this affect cars, like we bought one not too long ago, so we're good, but if your car breaks down and you need parts, that's going to be affected by this too. So if you're relying on your car to go to work, drive very, very, very carefully, because you don't want to break down right now, because it might be hard to get parts in a month or two. So just hang in there, take the side roads, don't speed, park accurately, get your oil changed, make sure all your maintenance is done so that your car runs smooth in time for this strike to be over with. Another thing in the news, the new iPhone came out, the iPhone 15. And whenever you get something new, there's issues and problems and bugs with it. There's an issue with the iPhone 15. I just had to pause right now because I'm in the mobile studio, aka the car, because everybody's asleep right now. And I'm in the absolute dark and I just heard something buzzing in the car. Like something big, like a 50-pound mosquito. So if this abruptly gets cut off, hopefully somebody can find my phone and post this final episode. What was I talking about? The iPhone 15. So the iPhone 15 came out, and it's overheating. And don't worry if you got one and it's overheating. They're going to give an update that will clock it down a little bit and you'll be fine. It's not going to be like Samsung's phones where they were exploding like bombs. That got so bad that you couldn't take a Samsung phone on the plane with you because it might blow up. People will be talking like, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. Bang. That's not going to happen with your iPhone 15. Also, if you're listening to this in France, shout out to the French people listening to this. There is a thing where they're talking about the iPhone 12 gives out too much radiation. Updates come in, it won't give out so much radiation by then. So you'll all be good. Hang in there, iPhone users. In the sport, going back to sports, the biggest news in the NBA, Damian Lillard was traded from the Blazers, and he's going to the Bucks. He wanted to go to Miami. I think basketball-wise, Milwaukee is going to be the better fit for him. You got a much better chance of winning the championship in Milwaukee than you do in Miami. Now, I can see where he would want to go to Miami. I think Dame's a family man, so some of those reasons don't play, but the warm weather, tax-free, Miami, the cruises are all right there, Disney's right there. I can see where he'd want to go there, but he's going to be fine in Milwaukee. There's things to do in Milwaukee. If there's nothing to do in Milwaukee, you got Chicago, like, not too far away. You can have fun in Chicago, but I think basketball-wise is going to be the best fit for him. And with no championships, and at this point in his career, he needs to be in the best situation possible. So congratulations to Lillard getting traded to the Bucks. I think some people think that it was a no-win for anyone. I think all of the teams came out good in this because the Suns got involved. They got rid of Ayton. They got some pieces and parts, which is what they really need is pieces and parts. And they got another quality center to do what Ayton does. The Blazers get a lot of pieces and parts that they need, and they already got their future set there. They may not win next year, but the pieces and parts they have, they can be good in about 3 or 4 years. And then obviously the Bucks, they got Dame Lillard with Giannis. You keep Middleton, and you got Brooke Lopez still there, and still some pieces and parts to help you out. So I think it's a win for all three teams. A big news for me was the Quest 3 came out. The Quest is a VR headset. I'm super, super excited about VR. I think we just scratched the iceberg of what virtual reality can do. And this is going to be another big step towards that. My YouTube channel, the first YouTube channel, Today Till Tomorrow, it's like a techie channel. But right now, most of it is VR gameplay. And you can check out what some of the things that you can do in VR on there. You can go to the movies. You can play football. You can go to haunted houses. You can do a lot in VR. But the new Quest 3 is coming out. It's going to be souped up. It's going to be great. Now, this is not the techie channel, but I will just say, for those of you who are in the VR space, if you should get it or if you should not, this is my advice to you. If you're in VR already, you have the Quest 2, go ahead and get the Quest 3. You can sell off your Quest 2 or give it away. But this bump up to push things forward is going to be great. If you're new to virtual reality and you don't know for sure if this is right for you, my opinion is I would go with the Quest 2. The Quest 3 is $500, $650 with the more storage. And I think the Quest 2 is going to be going at for either $200 or $300. Go with the lower model because for a lot of people, VR is not for you. For some people. What I mean is you're not going to pick, if you're new to it, you're not going to pick up the Quest 3 and say, oh, I'm glad I got the Quest 3. I'm sure glad I passed up the Quest 2. You're not going to really know what you're missing. But the things that might throw you away from VR, it's going to happen with the lower one or the higher one anyway. So some people say the headset's too heavy. I disagree. It's perfectly fine for me, but that is one of the complaints. Some people get motion sickness with VR. Some people just don't have the time to play VR as much. So if you invest $200, $300 into this and you find out VR is not for me, you can give that away. You can resell it. But if you're $500, $650 in and it's not for you, you're $500, $650 in. You can still sell it, but it's easier to get rid of a Quest 2, I guess, than a Quest 3. There might be some people that might want to get the Quest 3 on a low low. But even if you don't want to go through the reselling process and all that, if you had to just hang it up or just give it to somebody, I'd rather eat the $200, $300 than the $500, $650. So go with the lower end, get the Quest 2. You'll be fine for at least a year. And then if you love it, then bump up to the Quest 3. But if you already have, if you're already in VR, you love VR, get the Quest 3. I hope to get the Quest 3 as soon as I can. That is my plan. Another Eminem rhyme. So the question of the week was, what was your favorite Halloween costume for Halloween when you were a kid, when you were growing up? And let's see what some of the things that people said. I'll give you my answer on mine, but I'll give you a few of the responses of people that answered the question. Michael says Ninja Turtle. Can't go wrong with a Ninja Turtle. By the way, if you need firewood and you're in Northeast Ohio, hit me up. I will get you in touch with Michael. He got firewood for days, and you will stay nice and warm and toasty, especially on a night like this. I'd love to have a fire going in the back, but you need good wood. Good wood. I don't even want to say it. I'm going to be mature and say it. For wood, hit up Michael. Get your wood from Michael. The next one was Tawana says Barbie. And she sent a picture of the Barbie. We're going to talk about the costumes back in the day. We got to talk about this. But she said Barbie. Adrian says punk rocker. Again, can't go wrong with that. Shout out to Jim. Wesley says he was Gizmo from the Gremlins. Probably in kindergarten. That, again, a great costume. Elizabeth says she's been a witch since she was 3 years old. Since she was 3 years old, can't go wrong with a witch. Vanessa says She-Ra. She got a use out of that mask and plastic smock. She wore it for two Halloweens, and it was from first and second grade. And then finally, Tony says he loved being a pirate. So let's go way back to the 80s and those costumes. One, they were all the same costume. The characters were different, but they were all the same. And what I mean by that is it was like this plastic overall. And the plastic, man, there's like a shadow crawling by the fence. And I don't know what that is. It looks like the size of a panther. I don't live in like where panthers should be. So, yeah, I'm chill on these animals. But back to the costumes. So there were these plastic costumes, these onesies that were the quality of, say, a trash bag. And they just had stamped printed the uniform of what hero you were. So you could be Superman. You could be Wonder Woman. They were all the same, but they were just this plastic bag that you wore. And then there was a mask that went over your face. And the quality of the plastic of this mask, it wasn't even good enough to be on a milk carton. It was just this cheap plastic, and it had like a rubber band in the back that held it up. It wasn't even a strong rubber band. So these costumes were frail. They could fall apart easily. Masks could pop off and smack your cousin in the face. They were also highly flammable, so you had to be careful when you were visiting someone's lawn and for trick-or-treat, and they had fire going, because you could burn up. You could catch fire like you were Johnny Storm. Very dangerous costumes, and you'd wear them, and you'd sweat in them, and you'd walk a few blocks, and they start ripping and tearing, and then finally, your costume was a kid. Eventually, the mask would pop off, everything would come off, and you were just a kid trick-or-treating. They lasted long enough to go through your like school parade, your Halloween parade. You did that. But then when it was time for like trick-or-treating, those things would fall apart. Also, if you weren't white, if you were a person of color, your costume didn't match you. Tough luck, too bad. It was the 1980s. But one of the things that I enjoyed, and sometimes we had to do this out of necessity, was just make up our own costumes. They looked more genuine. And thinking back about it, those were cooler costumes, the homemade ones, versus those plastic ones that they sold. And by the way, kids today, they have a better option than what we did. I saw a kid, he was Batman. He had the muscles were built into the costume. He was like 3 years old and he had abs and he had the real Batman helmet. And he had stuff that shot off of his costume. Much more realistic and better than what we had growing up. But I still love those days. And this might be a question for another day, but I was listening to another podcast and they said it's a wrap for trick-or-treating. Like, people really don't trick-or-treat anymore. If you have kids who are young, you do trunk-or-treat, or you take them to a specific location like a mall. There's no malls anymore. Strip mall, and or some place where it's predetermined and you know who's all there, and then you get your candy that way. But as far as going house to house, they're saying that's a wrap. And in the neighborhood where I live, this used to be the neighborhood to go to. And now it's gotten to the point to where, like, we'll buy like $30, $40 worth of candy. And there's like a handful of kids. And I'm like, just grab handfuls. Grab handfuls. Trick-or-treating on Halloween might be over. Maybe. I don't know. You tell me. That might be another question. Is it a wrap for trick-or-treating? But that's going to be another end of this podcast. Thanks you for everybody. Thanks you everybody for listening to this podcast. Check out my YouTube channel Today to Tomorrow. If you want to email me robert@morewriting.com. Thanks everybody, and we will see you next week.